Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, starting a couple of minutes later than usual today because we've been out and about and very busy at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, the grand opening today. And yes, we had fun in the sun and got a lot of food sampled, and we're going to give you all that information on our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Yes, that is the theme for Highway 61 coming up at 2 o'clock today. Just wetting your whistle there for the greatest blues show in town, along with our other 10 hours of blues music. I'm here. My name is Jay Koronik. I'm station advisor here at WHFR.FM. Remember, do as I say, not necessarily as I do, in terms of quality programming. Sorry we're a little late getting started today. June 4th, 2010, the first day in June for the Journal. It's always so exciting, a new month, and maybe we'll get it right this time. I'm joined in the studio by our WHFR News Director, Amy Powers. Amy, good morning, and what did you think of the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market? Was this your first year out there?
It was my first year out there, and good afternoon. It was lovely. Lots of people out there this morning. Flowers, vendors, lots of good food.
You full?
I am full.
Yeah.
That other voice is the, as yet unannounced, Dennis Reimars, who is our promotions director here and part of our news team at WHFR.FM. Dennis, your 10-second soundbite about the market?
Well, I'm still feeling really, really good from the 100% natural juice concentrates that I consumed, the samples that I took advantage of.
Considering your usual diet, that might be a toxic shock.
I did not see one cheeseburger anywhere.
No.
That was disappointing.
No. What this one of the great things this time, folks, other than having many vendors, and I was told by Joan Reed, if you listen to our inserts into the Big Band and More music show this morning, Joan Reed is a volunteer coordinator at the Farmers Market, the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market event. And again, that's every Friday from now on through the end of October from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, that's Fridays, and it's at the Bryant Public Library parking lot. The parking lot is just north of the Bryant Library, which is just north of course, Michigan Avenue in so-called West Dearborn. But one of the features is they're going to have a Dearborn restaurant giving a taste of its food each Friday. In fact, I think Karenin's is going to be in there like one Friday every month. In fact, they've got more than one trip in there. Well, first of all, folks, it's free food. But secondly, today it was the Bangkok Thai restaurant. And you may be familiar with that. I actually go to a different Thai restaurant in town because I never could remember where the Bangkok was, which is crazy. I live on the east side of Dearborn. I never get to the west side of Dearborn. It's terrible. It's unbelievable.
You just keep driving.
Yeah, just keep going west. Right. Follow the setting sun.
But you had some of the samples from that there today, correct?
I did not have a chance today, but of course, a lot of their patrons, not just getting the ones getting free food, but people who have been their regular customers were there too, and they were raving about the food quality. Now, I'm sure that'd be true with most restaurants in Dearborn anyway.
Sure.
But it was just great to see them there. They have many different, Thai food is known for a lot of different vegetables, a lot of bright colors in the dishes that they serve. And you and Krista, I know, had large plates. Amy, you had a plate too?
I did.
Okay.
So I wouldn't call them large plates. I definitely wanted more.
Their claim to fame, other than some of their patrons being there who might have been encouraged to be there, I don't know, but is that they provided all the food catering for Gran Torino, the Clint Eastwood movie, when it shot here in West Dearborn.
All right.
And that was because Clint Eastwood, after making those couple of World War II Pacific battle movies with a lot of Asian actors in them actually cast Asians as Asians. Imagine.
Kind of a stretch, but whatever.
Well, they didn't used to do that, you know, in Hollywood in the 40s and 50s. It was like, hey, you're an Italian? Good enough. Play an American Indian. Go ahead. He's got a big nose and dark skin. What the heck? And so it wasn't always. But he therefore provided food for his cast for those movies that was similar to what they were used to anyway. So he got into Asian food. And so when he came in Dearborn, West Dearborn, Heights actually more to shoot a lot of the locations there, residential street, residential, a regular home in this area. He said, well, I got to have Thai food. And they said, well, right there on Telegraph. So they provided the primary food catering for all the cast and crew. And Eastwood even raved about that quality of food in several interviews he did locally. Of course, we have other stories to tell here today, folks, but we recorded some interviews with some of the people out there today, and it's just a question. We have in the computer, having them in the computer ready to play for you. I just don't remember which one. I remember which one mine is.
Well, I can help you. The first one on there, if you'd go in 10 seconds. We're going to skip the first 10 seconds.
It's very important.
At least. Yes.
Yeah. So the first one is a DR4020.
Yes. And that's an interview with Rebecca Herman, who is Children's Library Services coordinator. And she was at the farmer's market and with a booth, some recently, you know, owned books to sell, but also talking about summer programs at Henry Ford Centennial Library.
Great. Well, let's hear that right now, then.
All right. About 10 seconds in.
Yes. We're right there. Please.
Please.
Brian?
Nope.
Okay.
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. Great. Can you tell me your name?
My name is Rebecca Herman, and that's R-E-B-E-C-C-A-H-E-R-M-E-N.
And what is your title?
My official title is Youth Services Supervisor, but I'll go by Children's Librarian Works.
Okay. We're here at the Farmer's Market this morning in Dearborn, right near the Bryant Library, and you've got a table set up. Why are you here today?
Well, we're here today to promote the library, because the library is a great free resource for the citizens of Dearborn, and actually anybody who goes to school in Dearborn, so any student of HFCC can get a free library card for their public library. And we actually have a four-branch system. We have our main library on Michigan Avenue. Then we have the Bryant branch, which is also on Michigan Avenue, the Snow Branch Library on Telegraph Road, and the Esper Branch Library up on Warren Avenue.
Okay. What have you got out here today?
Today, we've got a few of our used books. People are always quite generous to the library and donate books that they no longer need. It's great recycling. Not only that, but all the proceeds that are raised by selling the used books go to help fund a lot of our programming. So our Blockbuster Film Festival, which is every Monday night at 7 p.m., except for holidays. It also funds all of our summer reading programs, and we have summer reading programs for people from birth. You could say from birth to death. We start with our kids. We have a baby program that starts at birth, just activities for pre-reading and get your child. It's never too early to help your child become literate.
Right.
And then we go all the way through to help that mom who also is reading books. So we have a program that does cover adults that are reading or listening. The nice thing for the teen and the adult program is we allow listening because we know that people are busy, they're doing a lot of commuting and things, so we let you use your audiobooks too to count for that program.
Okay, great. Are you going to be here throughout the summer?
We are here. We do have a table pretty much every week, and we'll have our books, and we'll have the activities we're promoting. Really this week our big promotion is that next Saturday and Sunday at the Henry Ford Centennial Library, we're having a Kids Read Comics Convention, which is a huge way to introduce children to literacy through comics and graphic novels. And because we know not every kid is going to sit down and read a full-length novel at any age, but by starting with, or even throughout your life enjoying comics, it is a great way. It gives you multiple literacies because you're not only just covering your print literacy where you're reading the words, but it's also teaching you visual literacy, which is important, especially in our age where we're doing computers a lot, and we do things a lot more visually now, right. And it's a great way to gain attention. Not only that, but there's activities at the Kids Read Comics Convention, which is June 12th and 13th, from 10 a.m. to about 6 p.m. each of those days. There's activities, too, about learning how to draw your own comics. There's activities for adults on how to draw their own comics. We have some people that can do portfolio reviews and let you know what, you know, where you can do some improvements in your art, or, you know, whether you're on the right track, maybe give you some tips towards characters that you're creating. And we also have a couple of workshops for teachers and librarians on how to bring comics into your classroom or into your library to help promote literacy.
Is there a website people can go to get more information?
You can.
There?
You can go either to the library's website, which is dearbornlibrary.org, or you can go to the Kids Read Comics, that's all one word, .org.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thank you very much, too.
How do you spell her name?
Yeah, how do you spell her name?
R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Herman, H-E-R-M-E-N.
All right.
Okay, that's Friends of the Dearborn Library, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A wonderful organization, and it supports your local libraries, folks. Without them, we don't really have it. Maybe you don't go there very much, but the resources are being shifted around, as the Mayor O'Reilly said on this show last week. Most of the programs, that is, kids' events and so on, are going to go to the main library, the Centennial Library, Michigan Avenue. They will have resources in other libraries, but they need volunteers to help. The whole story is volunteers, volunteers, volunteers. In fact, our new talk show on the fourth Tuesday of each month, the forum series, as we call them, every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m. and archived on our website as a forum show. But the fourth Tuesday is going to be Kristen Risbeck's Impact. And that's going to focus on local nonprofit groups and how you can get involved and how you can benefit from these groups to make your life and the city better. With Dennis, before the end of the hour, we'll talk about Campus Connection for next week, too.
Oh, you know we will.
That's another forum show, folks.
Speaking of Kristen, though, the next she introduced me to the next interview. Her name is Peggy Richard, and she's the event manager for the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And,
let's go to that now.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Okay.
I mean...
Say when. Oh, this is the kids' booth, and this is every week we have a different activity for them, and we provide...
We talk, we can find out exactly where we're at. Right. Beautiful. I'm with Peggy Richard, the event coordinator for the chamber.
Yes.
Okay. What that sounds kind of ominous to me. It really sounds kind of like a real big thing.
It is a big thing. We have a lot of events with the chamber that bring members together, bring business to consumer, business to business. So we plan all kinds of events to get people into Dearborn.
What's the most recent event that you planned?
The most recent event was our Business Builders Breakfast. We have a whole four-part series, and we had Alan Mulally in March. At the Dearborn Inn, and we had Dave Bing, mayor of the city of Detroit, at the Henry Ford Estate Fairline.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
So the event, and obviously that will appeal to people that are considering membership also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We get a lot of non-members attending those events to check it out. It's a good way to learn about the chamber. It's a good way to meet other members and see how you can interact. And
I'm sure the networking is a huge part of it.
The networking is a big part. We also have Taste of Dearborn coming up June 16th.
Okay. And that
starts here at the Bryant Library. Okay. A lot of people think of taste events as a big kind of taste expo where restaurants provide samples in one location. Because we want to bring people into Dearborn and to our restaurants, this taste event gets you a wristband and then you go and visit the restaurants. So we take you either via shuttle to all the restaurants that are participating.
What a cool idea.
Or you walk the streets of Dearborn and visit the restaurants, and the wristband identifies you as a paying participant of the taste.
Well, I like the idea from the aspect of, you know, it makes it, obviously more people will get involved if they don't have to leave their establishment.
Exactly.
At the same time, it's nice to have people walking around downtown Dearborn.
It is.
Nice genius move, actually.
We're adding a new component this year, too. We're adding local bands. We're giving them an opportunity to promote their music, so they're going to be playing in different courtyards and along the streets of Dearborn to promote their individual bands.
Food, music, potentially air conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Dennis is there. What is the what's the June 16th?
It's June 16th. Registration's at 5:30 at the Bryant Library here.
Right up here. Okay.
And then shuttles will begin taking people around at 6. But it's going to be a beautiful day, so it'll be perfect for walking around. It's $25 a person.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask.
And you can register at www.tasteofdearborn.com.
Wonderful. And this is Peggy Richard. Will you be there?
I will.
All right.
I will be checking people in.
All right, I'm going to look for you.
Great.
So
great.
Good to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.
Hello. They said goodbye, and we say hello. Paul McCartney song, I believe. This is the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. We were out at the grand opening of the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, which is all these different booths of different vendors, about 31 different vendors or more. 31 was the official count this morning. That's in the library, the parking lot that's right next to the Bryan Public Library and right behind Buddy's Pizza. They have a separate little lot, by the way, folks. This lot, you do have to pay to get in, but I was there almost a full 2 hours and got out for a buck.
Me too.
So maybe I was just under 2 hours or something. But it is not just a set rate. With multiple hours, they give you a little discount even. I don't know what it was.
It's very fair.
If you're there for only 30 minutes, and that's all it would take if you were a shopper for food,
right,
and, you know, just go there. But it's great fun to talk and get information. And like today, I got my blood pressure checked and found out a lot of stuff I didn't know. And a lot of the people in Dearborn, movers and shakers, as they say, were there. We missed Mayor O'Reilly. He was there at 7:45. Boy, he gets up early.
Yeah,
but he
was
probably
back in bed by 9.
I think he has a full time job to go to during the day. So that's being the mayor. And
is
so
that the rumor?
He must have been helping set up. It started at 8.
Knowing him, he probably put up some tents himself.
Quite possible. Yeah.
Is that food ready? That would be me.
That. Okay. So that was Peggy Richards, and she is one of the regular staff people.
Richard, okay.
Mm-hmm. Who's one of the regular staff people with the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, who's, of course, a facilitator for this event, although I don't think they put any money in per se. I think they were selling their own food bags, though, shopping bags.
And probably memberships, too. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't turn it
Do they have public memberships or just business memberships?
Well, it's just business, but business people.
So if you have a business that still survives and it's in Dearborn, or you're starting up a new one, become a member of the chamber. They have a lot of active meetings and services, and they always put special stories in the paper for free if you become a member. So that works out. So that was Peggy Richard. Thank you, Dennis, for featuring that. And now I'd like to feature a volunteer coordinator for an organization called Gift of Life. They were sharing a booth with the Oakwood Health Center. Oakwood Health Centers and Henry Ford Community College are equal and constant co-sponsors of this event. The whole event couldn't happen without the support from Henry Ford Community College and Oakwood Health Center. So we talked to Kim Zassa this morning, and here's her story, which is some stuff I didn't know. It's hard to believe, but I didn't know something about organ donation. Here's the interview with Kim. Okay, we're here at the grand opening of Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market on June 4th, 2010, and we've been talking to a lot of different people representing different organizations and selling different kinds of fresh fruits and vegetables and food products here, and right now we're with an organization called the Gift of Life, who are sharing the tent with Oakwood Hospital. And tell me who you are and what you do with the organization and why you're here today.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kim Zassa, and I'm the volunteer coordinator with Gift of Life Michigan. We're the state's federally designated organ and tissue donation program, so we handle all of the donations and transplants that occur for patients in Michigan.
Well, I was fascinated when I first came up to talk to you that I thought I had already on my driver's license checked off the right boxes for organ donation if something happened and I didn't survive something. You say that's really not good enough, or maybe that won't even make it happen.
That's right. In fact, a lot of people mistakenly believe that they've signed the back of the license, but in fact, really, that's no longer valid in Michigan. What we want them to do is to sign up on the Michigan Organ Donor Registry, which is a confidential database that's only accessed at the time of death. So you can do that by signing up on our website at www.giftoflifemichigan.org or calling us at 800-482-4881. Or you could go to your local Secretary of State branch office and let the clerks know that you would like to sign up on the donor registry, and then they'll send you a heart sticker that you can affix to the front to assure that you are designating your wish to be an organ and tissue donor.
And it doesn't take very long to do that here, folks, although there's a question of whether or not the Gift of Life people will be back here next Friday, all the other Fridays other than June 11th, there should be someone here at the Oakwood facility. The next best thing is to go to the website, maybe, giftoflifemichigan.org.
Org. That's correct. And it's important to know that anybody can sign up, regardless of your age or your medical history, that everyone is evaluated at the time of death based on the needs at that time, because medical technology is changing all the time. And it's you can be assured that doctors will make every effort to save your life, so donation only occurs after death has occurred.
Okay, so they don't necessarily look at this when you come in.
That's absolutely right. A lot of people have a fear that, oh, they're going to check my driver's license, when in fact, no. The hospitals only call us after all efforts to save your life have been exhausted. So it's important to know that all major religions also support organ and tissue donation as well. So we encourage you to make that very important life-saving decision to save a life today, because there's over 3,000 people that are waiting for transplants in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I was going to say that it is extremely important to consider this. I know that some of our listeners may have either personal or religious issues involved here, but there's so many lives that can be extended significantly, even if you can't continue. And you said 3,000 in Michigan alone. That's got to be a lot more across the U.S. then.
Absolutely. It's over 100,000 people in the nation right now waiting every single day. They say that nearly 18 people die each day while waiting for a transplant. Well, that's not necessary if everyone said yes to donation, signed up on the donor registry, and got that heart sticker for their driver's license.
Well, it's been great talking to you today. This is Kim Zasa, who is a volunteer coordinator. That means you coordinate volunteers?
I do indeed. Okay. Yes, our volunteers are donor recipients and donor family members that have lost someone who have given the gift of life, and they go out there and share their stories and let people know why it's important.
Most of the great organizations in Dearborn, including WHFR Radio, are only made possible thanks to volunteer support. And so we understand the value of that. Thank you for all your efforts here. And we are talking with Kim from Gift of Life. They will be out here probably at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market every Friday, except maybe not next Friday, the 11th. But you can get in touch with them and find out more about how to get that donor sticker from giftoflifemichigan.org. Can that be done at Secretary of State's office, too?
Absolutely. You can walk into your Secretary of State branch office any day of the year. It doesn't have to be your birthday. You don't have to be renewing your driver's license. You can just walk right in and let the clerks know that you'd like to sign up today, and they'll hand you their heart sticker.
Okay, so it's a heart sticker that's the most important thing.
Right.
Yeah, and out here, folks, it only took me like 30 seconds to get on the list and to get my sticker on in the mail to me in a couple of days. So thank you, Kim, for being out here and being part of our new year of the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. We really appreciate the opportunity. Yep, have a good day.
Okay, just another example. It proves we were out there in the sun having fun, eating a lot of free food, talking to a lot of community people, and we will be out there with a brief report every Friday during Big Band Music Show between 10:30 and 11, and trying to catch who's ever out there and update you on what's going on. Remember, that's it's already been open for about 2 or 3 hours by that point. I just barely got to one of the bread vendors. There's three wonderful fresh bread bakeries that are out there. I'm trying to remember Reinhold, Avalon, and Traffic Jam. And what, their bread or the fact I remembered?
Wait a minute.
In fact, both.
Yeah,
okay.
The food was free?
Yeah, they gave samples at Avalon. I'm sorry you missed that.
I'm giving them money.
But one of the vendors.
No, you gave me the money. I gave you the sample.
Again, I won't plug my favorite bread vendor, but I have bought from all three of them. But it's wonderful to get this fresh baked, real whole wheat, organic bread. It is, it really fills up your stomach, but it is a meal in itself almost. And so wonderful. It's so fresh. But they were running out by 11 o'clock. So I got one of the last loaves of my favorite type from my favorite bakery there, and it can become a great tradition. I know last year I went with my daughter and granddaughter as soon as my daughter was not teaching school anymore. In a couple of weeks, we'll be out there every Friday morning getting stuff and looking around, and my granddaughter's only 2.5, so she may still do the stroller thing. She's a little on the lazy side. I'm sorry, April. I don't think you're listening, but she still prefers the stroller.
2.5 and lazy.
Rather than walking, you know.
That's hilarious.
Well, if Mama's going to push, I'm fine.
Well, I don't know. I just call that intelligent.
I want to ride.
That's
yeah.
not lazy. That's smart.
Yeah, exactly. Here's some smart grandmothers. I'm a grandfather. That's the segue. The Jim Hightower is going to talk about amazing work they're doing for peace. So here's a volunteer effort to keep you busy for a while. Listen to Jim Hightower for 2 minutes, and we'll be right back with more of the new WHFR Journal, local news, and alternative views.
How grand it was in Washington for Hamid Karzai, the corrupt, inept president of Afghanistan, whose regime is being propped up by 87,000 of our troops and $7 billion a month from us taxpayers, got the red carpet treatment in our capital city in May, including a meeting with President Obama in the grandeur of the White House. On the same day as the Obama-Karzai chat, about 20 women gathered curbside on a busy Manhattan street. The scene there was less grand, but a whole lot more honest, inspiring even. These were the grannies, a brigade of ladies whose ages range from the mid-60s into the 90s. They come together every Wednesday to protest Mr. Obama's war in Afghanistan. This particular Wednesday marked the 331st consecutive week of the Granny's Stand, going back to the early months of George W.'s Iraq War, which is still going on, so they protest it too. Every week, whether in the cold of winter or in the searing heat of August, they unfurl their banners, unfold their homemade placards, politely hand out their leaflets, and talk with anyone who will listen about their deeply held convictions against the two wars. And occasionally, they'll ring out with a chant, "Bring our troops home now, alive!" Persistence, integrity, speaking out, it all matters in our country. Yes, the wars go on, and no, Obama, the generals, the war contractors, and our lawmakers are not listening to these feisty citizens, but others do hear them. The point is to interfere with the routine, explains one of them. As people walk down the street, it has an impact on their consciousness. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank goodness someone is standing up for peace and justice. Laurie Leon, whose age she simply describes as very, very senior, cheerfully says, I won't stop till I drop. The question is not why these ladies are out there every week. The question is, why aren't we?
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publishers of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current. Even a dead fish can go with the flow. Now available wherever books are sold.
And we're back with more of the new WHFR Journal, Grannies for Peace. By the way, I don't think it got on the air on our show, a Mother's Day show, the show we did before Mother's Day Sunday, but Mother's Day began in about 1870 as a day when mothers would come together and advocate peace in the world, stopping war, and it was an anti-war day. Mother's Day was an organization of women, all of whom could not vote in those days in the 19th century in America. Women could not vote. No, they could vote. They couldn't vote. They couldn't own property. It was something like that.
Couldn't vote till 1922.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Let's remember our amendments to the Constitution.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy and Dennis are shaking their heads. What are you talking about?
Okay. He was an English teacher.
Women couldn't vote, which is crazy. You know, here we have the Bill of Rights and freedom of speech, and women couldn't vote. And population in a state would only count,
two-thirds for
two-thirds
a slave.
Of five black people.
Yeah,
five black people that you owned as slaves who couldn't vote either, they were still counted for their masters to be represented. Two-thirds of the numbers of slaves helped the state get more reps in for different areas and so on. So women couldn't vote, but Mother's Day began as an anti-war effort on the part of mothers who went out and demonstrated and protested. And, of course, the women's suffrage movement, or the effort to get women the right to vote, that began about those times, mm-hmm. too. But we have here on campus coming up next week a very formal professional conference for 3 days. This is June 11th. That's next Friday all the way through Sunday the 13th in our conference center on campus, also known as the Mazzara Conference Center, where we had our holistic fair just a week ago. Thank you to all those folks that showed up. That was a lot of fun. And Dennis, you're going to be talking more about this event on the Campus Connection coming up as the forum show this coming Tuesday. Is that right?
That's one of the many things we'll be talking about. So I don't want to go talk about too much right now.
No, but I just think it's a wonderful – the conference topic is religion today and peace. Okay, and I'm not putting down organized religion directly, but the irony is of most organized religions who talk about treating people well and maybe even love and kindness and compassion, depending on the religion more or less, the formal religious dogma is usually in favor of peace, not war. But in fact, most of the major wars we've had in the history of the world, including the recent ones, a major factor is religious differences. That's why the people fight. And we could give examples of still the battle between Protestants and Catholics in Ireland, which is still going on to one degree or another, or certainly the Middle East for the last 1,000 years between Christianity and Muslims. The Christians called them all pagans, which they weren't. Even conflicts like in Iraq, we know there's significant differences between Shiite and Sunni Muslims, and so much so that sometimes they were like doing little battles back and forth in the streets, even after our invasion there. So very important conference, and it is organized by people, a national organization, but it's supported here at Henry Ford Community College by our World Religions Department under Bill Seacrest. Public is invited, but it's a little bit pricey, but it's a formal, full 3-day experience. There's luncheons, there's speakers all over, there's panels. So if you're involved in organized religion, or wannabe, maybe, then it is, I think, $150 for the average person for the 3 days, and $50 if you're a student. Or there's a daily rate too, but a very important thing that we're hosting right here at Henry Ford Community College, and I hope they get to, which is usually the ultimate goal of most religions, which is peace and understanding among all peoples of the world, whether or not they believe your and support your religion or not. And of course, unfortunately, there are a couple of religions, I won't mention which ones, that do believe that if you're not a believer in their and a practitioner of their religion, you're not worth much, and they don't want you around, and that's really unfortunate. I don't think that's the appropriate spirit. I know we've had Christian moments that weren't very Christian or loving in terms of
more than moments.
New Testaments, yes, eons, decades in some cases. So we've got to do better to love and understand one another. And, maybe a conference. We'll get the leaders of some of these organized groups locally and nationally to focus on that. Has to stop. Okay, and I'd like to focus back, if I may, to a couple of the stories here in the local Dearborn papers. Since we've been talking about the farm market and a couple events on campus we'll mention later, I thought it was great, and actually, finally, they got a scoop. Yes. At the Dearborn Times-Herald, I think he's their only staff reporter. All the Dearborn papers are a little lean and mean these days.
I don't know. It doesn't matter because he's...
J. Patrick Pepper.
They picked a good one.
Yeah. Actually had to... dig this up, but apparently Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Snyder, he's the nerd guy because he was associated with Gateway Computer in its early big days in the 90s, he has a local Michigan business right now, and he's one of three Republicans running for governor in the primary coming up August 3rd. So if you're a Republican, you've got a decision to make there. And it's a Dr. George, and George is his last name, can't remember his first name, I'm sorry, and Pete George. Hoekstra, right. Who was an elected representative to Washington, D.C., and, of course, Rick Snyder. Well, here's just briefly the summary of it. I really recommend the story to you in the Dearborn Times-Herald from this last Wednesday because it goes into a lot of detail about what Mr. Snyder believes. At the outset, it mentions here in the story he's a millionaire venture capitalist with big political aspirations. But not too long ago, Rick Snyder might have been the guy you saw at the local bowling center searching for a suitable house ball. I guess he doesn't own his own, okay? The Republican gubernatorial candidate Snyder was back in his 2-time hometown last week. That's Dearborn, folks. He'd been here twice as a resident to meet with supporters, talk policy, and do a little reminiscing. At a fundraiser spaghetti dinner last Wednesday at Park Place. Darn, I missed that. I probably would have had to pay to get in, though. Which was organized by his in-laws.
That's nice.
Well, that's what
Dearborn residents Pete and Kathy Kerr, or Carr, K-E-R-R.
Regardless, they care.
Mm-hmm. They do care, yes, about Rick. The candidate outlined his guiding principles while also greeting friends and family. Snyder advocated for a, quote, customer service, unquote, government that is operationally nimble and more responsive to citizens' needs while deriding the current bureaucratic status quo as broken, quote unquote. One of the primary reasons he decided to join in the race, he said, was because he was disappointed that all the other prospective candidates were career politicians. And that's the primary focus of the story, is that it's anti-career politicians. Ooh. He said, but the majority of his speech at that event was reserved for policy speak, not political red meat. That's the
save
colorful,
for the spaghetti.
Colorful language of J. Patrick Pepper. Thank you. And Snyder said, I don't like to focus on the negatives because I think this, as a state that we just have so many positive, wonderful resources we should be talking about instead. I saw him, and it might have been about the time he was in town. No, this was just last week. Previous to last week, he did an hour-long debate on Detroit Public Television, okay, with Hoekstra and Dr. George. And
Did you hear it?
Yeah. Well, I watched all of it, and I wasn't particularly impressed with any of them.
Really?
But I don't usually like what most Republicans are saying. What I'm interested in is issues. And Snyder, of course, an outsider, but a successful businessman, he thinks our present system of government in Michigan is broken, but he would not support, at least I don't think he did, if I'm wrong on this, the Constitutional Convention proposal. It's going to be on the ballot in November, folks, not August, but in November. Jennifer Granholm just made a statement this morning out in the Mackinac Policy Week that they're having out there on beautiful Mackinac Island. But she said she's in favor of that constitutional amendment because as governor, she's, yeah, it's all broken. I can't get things done. We can't change the tax system easily with the kind of politicians, and including term limits and so on. You don't have career politicians because of term limits. But the problem is nobody learns how to be a good elected representative, how to get bills made and how to do things that they're smart about on their own. They're so influenced by the lobbyists when they get there, who are career lobbyists. Mm-hmm. And so they can outflank them with information and they can write bills for them. And you're sort of at the mercy of the lobbyists. That's one of the reasons against term limits. As you know, our former mayor Guido said, hey, we've already got term limits in the United States of America. It's called elections.
Yeah.
You think somebody's not doing the job, don't vote for them next time. It's amazing how effective that can be, but not many people vote. Got to find out what's going on. Got to express yourself and be a volunteer, maybe for Snyder, maybe for one of the Democrats, maybe for one of the other party candidates running. And we're going to try to cover some of these people because Snyder is not, I don't believe he's the front runner in polls for the Republican nomination right now. We're going to try to get him here on the Journal sometime before August. We have phone calls and emails in right now. Amy's shaking her head, yes. And so we're going to try to get him here. He at least should be able to find his way easily to the campus since he's lived here twice.
Yeah.
You know, so
now he's got really nice digs in Ann Arbor, I hear. Is that a nice
Well,
little,
of course he
does. Little house, yeah.
Multi-millionaire.
Sure.
Yeah. He actually had his last time in Dearborn a really swanky house in West Dearborn, too.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did you just say swanky?
Talks about it. Swanky.
That's
a technical term.
I know. I'm thinking a really nice house. Maybe Hugh Hefner comes by. Swanky.
On top of a hill in West Dearborn. We have our hills. Okay, so anyway, it's a great story. Read it in the Times Herald. It's on the cover, but it goes on inside if you want to know something more about Rick Snyder. But we'll come back to that. I thought it was interesting. There's a story in the Times Herald on page 2A about road repairs that are scheduled for Wayne County. We know we're hoping that Southfield Expressway is going to be open in a month or two. That's a county repair, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It's referred to in there. But next year, 2011, we got Schaefer Road. We got a number of other roads that are going to go under construction. But what I thought was amazing about that, and I've been saying this for a while, and that is, and this is a quote from, thank you, Amy. This is a quote from Wayne County worker here, person. I didn't.
Not the executive?
Is that a title?
It's on the follow-up. 7A. Where's 7A?
Oh, boy.
Oh, she's
a little further back.
I guess.
Just trying to throw you off.
I guess no thanks,
well,
Amy.
The elected person from Wayne County Road Crew said, first of all, even with all this sort of money from the federal government to help give jobs to people, stimulus money,
sure,
a lot of it is going for road repair, as we know that even in Dearborn, we're getting some projects done, road repair done, there it is. Okay. That we wouldn't normally have on the schedule, but the quote is, I still can't find it, but thanks anyway, Amy.
I saw a quote,
Amy,
right at the top from
Giselle. Don't you have a highlighter?
There is no way to keep up.
Can you read it to him?
Okay, the bottom line is there is no way for Wayne County to keep up. There's not enough money, and there probably is not enough money in the whole world for anybody to keep up with the infrastructure we have now. I'm not saying we have too many roads, but yes, we have not built them in the with longevity in mind. First of all, there's other way to build roads that wouldn't need repairs, even in Michigan with the ice and the snow that cracks roads that wouldn't need repair down, say, in Texas or something as frequently as up here. But there's ways to do it. But even with the stimulus money, we can't keep up. And what does that mean? That means we need to become less dependent on private automobiles. Okay? If we would either share rides or have buses that run on a decent schedule, and that, you know, just disastrous in this area. Mayor O'Reilly last week said, of course, there's got to be a bus system for all of the Tri-County area. One system, one group that does it and gets a solid funding. We need to ride buses. We need to ride light rail, these train connections between Detroit. Didn't know there was still a station in downtown Detroit, but there is. It's not the big one on Michigan Avenue that's a derelict building now, of course. But Dearborn, Ann Arbor, and other lines they're talking about to connect Detroit and Dearborn with Pontiac and Toledo. You know, would we go to Ann Arbor more frequently from Dearborn if there was several trips a day and economies of scale would reduce it to maybe $10 each way? Absolutely, we would.
Yeah.
Sure, great outing for the family, and we'd be less dependent on cars. Didn't get to talk to Mayor O'Reilly last week about becoming Bike City USA, but we have to have bike paths for transportation for people that want to ride bikes to work, not just recreational paths that spin around the forest. That's cool. Sort of, but we need to have ways that people can bike to work without risking their lives. I can't even get to Henry Ford Community College from East Dearborn on a bike path, okay, from East Dearborn. I have to ride next to Fairlane Town Center, and you know the traffic there, and there's no sidewalks, even though sidewalks, being what they are, you have to stop frequently as a bicyclist, and they're bumpy. And so it's not like having a bike path. Like Ann Arbor has some bike paths, and I've been to Texas. I've been to other cities that are Bike Cities USA. And, you know, I'm only 2.5 miles from work. I could bike more often. I do bike in here on weekends when there's less traffic on the roads if I come to campus on weekends. So it's a problem. And as they said, and it's a quote right in the story here, you know, road construction, if it's summer in Michigan, you can expect that you can't drive anywhere quickly.
Right.
Okay, because roads are being built. And so even though you got all these roads, they have to all be built or rebuilt every summer. And it's going to be more and more each year. We can't afford to keep this going. And the way the roads would last longer is if we don't use them as much for individual cars. Okay, so the less trucks and people driving individual cars, the roads will last longer. So and we need other ways to get places. That's just that simple. So that's my infrastructure comment. We built too many roads. We never thought they'd all need repair at the same time, or our sewer systems or our water systems or our phone lines. You know, I switched from a wired AT&T phone a couple of years ago in my house, not because, well, I just bought a cell phone. No, but because I have all these squirrels that were chewing through the lines, and I was getting bad reception. So I called up AT&T. I said, "What? You know, can't you do something about this?" "Oh, those squirrels." And I, "No, you're either providing phone service to your end." "Well, you're scheduled in your neighborhood in 7 years. We'll be there to replace the lines."
Is that on your calendar?
No. I just said, "Well, heck with it. Cancel. I'll go on the cell phone. Not as reliable, but by golly, you know." And it's just the infrastructure is out there. Is we've designed it, we put it in place in a way that we can't afford to maintain it at any reasonable cost. So we need these options. I mean, we need to save energy every day to reduce our energy bills. Every choice we make about transportation and our electric bills and even the phones we buy, it's got to be oriented towards energy efficiency. The green world is the world of the future, and that should be Michigan's number one job priority too. A lot of jobs, but we need entrepreneurs. We need I agree with the Republicans, and even the Democrats say, we need a new context to make business easy to start and be supported by state government. I'm not saying they shouldn't pay taxes. Oh, I'm against that. As we know, as you folks know, Michigan Fair Tax, I've been pushing on Amy and Dennis here, and we're going to have a speaker sometime soon. We just had
yes.
the president of Michigan Fair Tax 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks? How time flies. So go to the journal button on WHFR.FM and listen to our interview.
It's just the president, not
that.
A bad sampling.
We're going to ask every candidate coming in about Michigan fair tax and whether or not they support it. Usually it's Republicans that say, yeah, I might say. There's no reason why Democrats can't. It's not a political philosophy thing here, folks. Mm. It's a different way to do fair taxing and make government more efficent. And I won't go into it now. Okay, so that's the infrastructure thing. More roads will be under more construction sometime soon, but don't say, oh, how dare they, or it's giving people work. We could put everybody to work and still, and dedicate all of our money to fixing the roads, and still they wouldn't be fixed, okay?
Right. I thought AT&T owned those squirrels, too. No? Because that would explain it.
Yeah, so give them an excuse to pay higher rates.
Yeah, we'll get that Jay.
They can move up those poles.
And then we'll tell them 7 years. That'll get them.
I think it was Lily Tomlin he was talking to.
We have about 15 minutes left on the journal show here, and Amy and Dennis are having a great time today.
Have you seen Jay?
Here's a couple of other things happening at Henry Ford Community College. The Henry Ford Theater is presenting one-act festivals. This is in Times Herald from Wednesday, June 17th through 20th and June 24th through 27th. Now, it's 2 weekends from this weekend. It's going to be back, not here on campus, at the theater that they've returned to after they couldn't be there for a year of remodeling, but where they were last summer. It's a more intimate theater in the Centennial Library, and it's great for one-act plays, up close and personal. And the plays are different, so you might, if you love these short one-act plays, and they're a unique art form in themselves, you might want to go both weekends. So 17th through 20th is one group of two plays, and I think there's three plays, three for the price of one, one experience, on June 27th, 24th through 27th. So that's HFCC Theater going to be with their one-act festival at the Centennial Library in 2 weeks from now.
It's only $7.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Dennis, do they tell which plays they're doing?
They absolutely do.
Any chance we could hear?
Oh, I'll let you read it later if you like.
I know that there's a couple of playwrights I recommend. Now, many, you know, professional and highly studied in college playwrights have written one-act plays. Not all of them, but we are featuring some pretty well-known plays in that group of five plays.
Right.
That's all.
Do you know? I actually have the comedies
in front
of me. He's
got mention it.
Neil Grant's A Spot of Lunch and James McClure's Private Wars. Those will be the comedies they show.
The first weekend, the 17th through 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And the second week?
Actually, the next one is not in here. I don't think. No.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no.
But that gives an idea.
Continued.
Recklessness is one of them. The Informer is another.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have The Three Musketeers / The Four Musketeers. Well, no, that's not it.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. X-Miss Copper.
Yes. That's the plays of the second weekend. So try to catch it. Something different to do. Say, let's go and see some theater. And, hey, if you don't like one, you might like the other
one.
Or the other. You get three choices in the second week. But you'll probably like them all. And so sometimes we've done plays by local playwrights, one-act plays. And that's not happening this time. These are professional playwrights, if that matters to anybody. You know, just written by some student. Well, some student productions locally are great talent, still building. But in this case, it's all plays that are out there professionally. So try to support the HFCC Theater, Centennial Library, 2 weekends, starting 2 weeks from this weekend. And also, an event that's very big in Dearborn Heights. Their Spirit Fest is coming up next weekend. It actually starts Wednesday, June 9th, and goes through the 13th. For people of Dearborn, it's just like our homecoming, folks, but they call it Spirit Fest, okay? But it's interesting how they've done a lot of things, and they're changing them to be like Dearborn Homecoming. Dearborn Homecoming is August 6th, 7th, and 8th, and it's true theirs lasts 5 days instead of three. But on the first day is going to be the Mayor's Walk, sort of a fun walk, fun run event. And, of course, our mayors always did the Friday morning walk and have a seniors' day. Well, we've always had Friday as the seniors' day in homecoming, so I guess our idea is catching on, but that's the Spirit Fest in Dearborn Heights starting next Wednesday. Great, of course, carnival rides and events and food for the family, and that's at their usual Festival Park, wherever that is. It's the usual place out there. I mean, Dearborn Heights is pretty small. Drive
it's
around.
By
you'll
Canfield.
Find it.
Canfield. No, yes, it's Beach Daily and Ford Road.
No, it's actually called the Canfield Center. Or
the Canfield Center includes the ice rink, Canfield rink, right, and everything. Okay. But that's the big, for lack of a better term, fairgrounds in Dearborn Heights. And if I'm wrong, well, drive around.
We talked about the Dearborn budget last week with Mayor Riley. I don't know if we mentioned how much it was, and I didn't bring it with me today, but I think it's over $100 million budget.
Okay. Seriously?
Altogether, yeah.
Huh.
Well, for 100,000 people, that's only, what, $1,000 a person? Anyway, but their budget in Dearborn Heights, which is a good deal smaller than us, I don't remember their population, is $38 million. So what do they have, 30,000 people, 20,000 people out there? So that's a pretty big, significant budget for 2010, 2011. And the story is in the Press and Guide from Wednesday on page 11A, it says here. So as he turns the pages, you know, this show... Only local radio show where you hear the pages turning.
That's right. You hear those
on
pages,
the
but
there
the opinions expressed are ours.
Uh-huh.
So there.
Okay. So I turned to 11A and I got 80. Okay. But what's happening out there? It says contract talks are critical to making the spending plan that they've endorsed. City Council of Dearborn Heights approved a near $38 million balanced budget Tuesday as required by law. Amazing that's not required by the federal government,
right,
isn't it? I don't know if I'm in favor of that. We've had a lot of, we've had some actual economic forums here at HFCC with professors talking about whether or not the federal government, used to be a big thing about 20 years ago, balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, make us live within our means. And even among the teabaggers these days, nobody's talking about a balanced budget. Just reduce the size of government, reduce spending. But nobody's talking about balanced budget. I just think it's interesting that that hasn't come back.
Is it not
realistic? You couldn't go to war, you know, as easily as we do if we needed a balanced budget.
You don't have the flexibility to spend billions all of a sudden.
Right.
Or even an undeclared war. We've had a few of those that the president said, we got to go into Bosnia or something.
Yeah, just to help out.
Billions.
I don't think balance, they don't talk about it because in a lot of people's minds it's not realistic. Mm-hmm. You know?
Just so you know, the City Council of Dearborn Heights did not increase their budget. They cut $1.2 million from last year's budget.
Okay.
So they're working on less, and obviously because they have less money coming in from property taxes. Okay.
Right.
The council also set their general tax levy at 6.3 mils and a levy of 4.7 mils to finance the voter-approved Act 345 pension plan for police and fire department employees to raise the $5.6 million needed to operate the fund. So they've actually made sure that that fund exists. In Dearborn, remember, Mayor O'Reilly commented that he did have to take money from, and he felt it was still wise, still about 10% remaining, but he had to take significant monies from almost every extra fund, not just the general fund in Dearborn this year to make the budget balance. A risky thing to do, probably can't do it again next year, but he feels we had a little extra fund money in there, and it could go to helping the budget balance this year without cutting anything. I mean, I supported the Save Our Pool group. They had these cool blue and white, sort of a mixture, a swirl of blue and white colors, and I got a wristband from them at the farmer's market today. They're trying to raise money to help save our pools and keep funding them locally if the city can't do it, but they're not cut. There was a thought they might be cut, and then the SOP was organized. Bad acronym. There are a bunch of SOPs.
No, it's really...
it is water-related.
Yeah, okay. Sop it up.
Is that what you got out of that?
Don't let it go down the drain. Sop it up.
Funny.
Okay.
No, but so
they said, this is like this is kind of wavy, and I thought, making waves. So the station advisor's got to wear their. But I haven't seen a wristband that was this swirly color, blue and white, which is our Henry Ford Community College colors too. Blue and white are our college colors. So, what perfect reason to spend $2. By the way, they have a website and they have email, and you can send them an email. And Yahoo is Save Our Pools, Dearborn. You just, you know, Google that stuff and you can find out what they're doing, too. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they're fairly balanced. Every 5-1 vote passed it. Councilwoman Janet Battelow voted no. And Roy Pilot, shame on Roy, he was absent. Probably up flying his plane somewhere, right?
He may have been volunteering at the pools.
In Dearborn Heights,
Well,
the tax levy, in addition, do they have a pool out there? The tax levy and additional mills on the taxable valuation of public safety, garbage and rubbish disposal, construction of a federally mandated sewer system, which they can do cheaper than our combined sewer overflow, by the way, had more open land, and improvements to the libraries all passed 6-0. So that's nice. They supported a lot of valuable services.
You said it's dependent on contract talks. Have they already had those talks? Those have been approved?
Battelow said when she voted no, it was because there are some unresolved issues, including employee health care, that impact the budget. Until these issues are finalized, she doesn't want to vote in favor of the budget. Well, it's already been passed, so sorry, Ms. Battelow, Janet. Major expenditures include $12.6 million for the police department. Imagine, $38 million, $13 million. Is that a third? Is going to police.
Well, serve and protect.
I guess. And $6.3 million for the fire department, $2.3 for public safety, public works, which is the water and sewer stuff. Always need that, infrastructure. And $2 million for their 20th district court. And about $1.2 million for building maintenance. Not bad.
And the rest is for a big old party we're going to have at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's left over.
Yep. And, of course, there's many different fees, licenses coming in. I thought it was interesting is that in the Dearborn budget that I went over, it talked about revenues coming in from different sources. And I didn't look at all. And one that stood out was that for parking tickets, people that park in the wrong place in Dearborn, and that could even mean on this college campus, because if invited in, the city, the police do come in, and if people are parking on the grass at Henry Ford Community College, somewhere other than our lanes, they are authorized, as long as we allow them on campus, they can enforce parking, and then they get the ticket money. But we emphasize that you got to park in the right places here. And so probably even Fairlane Town Center invites them in at times to do some parking enforcement. The city gets $100,000 a year from people paying parking tickets.
That does not surprise me.
And, I think a lot of people don't even pay parking tickets, but...
that doesn't surprise me either.
But they get $100,000, and I was going to say, well, how much do they get from, like, speeding tickets or motor vehicle? I couldn't find that.
Oh, just from parking. Okay.
But just from parking.
Moving violations is probably incredible.
$100,000 in parking violations. Yeah. So we're busy collecting those extra fees. And, of course, you get fees from all kinds of things. But Dearborn Heights seems to be on even keel, but there's always healthcare issues that aren't resolved, contracts not finished over there. Coming down to a couple minutes to the end of the hour, our podcast goes until actually 2:02 for those that listen that way. And since we started a couple of minutes late, we might continue. Joanne Kurczynska is actually coming from a doctor's appointment today. For her blues show. She's our host, our blues music director, as all of you know, Joanne Kay. And so we're hoping that she'll get here pretty much on schedule today. She said her appointment was for 1 o'clock.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think could be closer to 3
doctor.
Or 4.
No, we hope not. She said she's the first appointment for the doctor, and then, of course, I made the bad joke. Said, if you can get in from the golf course on time. doctors like to golf.
Oh,
it's
fine. You meant Joanne.
No.
I'm pretty sure she's more of a bowler. So she had the doctor appointment at 1?
Yes.
All right. You guys, but I have to be out of here by 5.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to start playing blues music shortly at 2:02, so don't worry, blues fans. We'll try to keep to our regular schedule here. But I wanted to mention also from the papers, those free concerts, page 3A in Wednesday Press and Guide here. I've got it, Dennis.
Okay.
That was mentioned by Peggy Richard, and they're going to be in West Dearborn, and, we'll be mentioning these as we go along. They're at the Muirhead Plaza, adjacent to the Bryant Library.
Right.
Is that little teeny area?
It's next to,
between Buddy's and Bryant. Okay. And some of the vendors for our farm market are in that area.
A little bit of a concrete park.
Right.
Yeah. Concrete park. Contradiction in terms. Anyway, the Sun Messengers will be there on June 18th. I don't know what day of the week that is. From 6:30 to 9 p.m. at night.
Have
all
you
free.
Heard them? You guys
they're great. Fantastic.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, I've been around for about 20 years.
Absolutely.
World music, and they've evolved into a variety of styles.
Amazing.
At one point, there was 30 people that were like in and out of the group. A huge group shows up.
I used to work at a restaurant, and they would perform pretty regularly on the patio, and they're very good.
Right. This is called the Muirhead Plaza, and it's between the Bryant Library and Buddy's Pizza over there. And on July 2nd, right before the 4th, a group called Beat Club, they're a Beatles tribute band. I've heard about them. I haven't seen them. 6:30 to 9 p.m. Wow, 2.5 hours of playing Beatles music there. And July 16th, Brian Cleary Jazz Quartet. They do jazz stylings with elegant traditional music. Okay. And on the 30th, Crush.
With a K?
With a C.
Oh,
the
Crush.
Sounds of classic rock and more. What's more than classic rock? Anyway, Carl Kafanga will be there also at the end. And doesn't give a date for Carl. Poor Carl's going to be there from 6:30 to 9 p.m. It doesn't say what the date is, but he's got the last, probably sometime in August, I think. And that's all organized by and sponsored by the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, WDDA. They say you need to bring your own chairs and blankets.
Okay.
So they're not providing the seats. But fun will be had by all in West Dearborn. That's what Peggy Richards was referring to.
Who will be on the 16th? That's Peggy Richard. The 16th is the jazz.
My Brian. Book.